This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, I know that we spent almost a week, maybe a full week, talking about little snippets from the 12-day war. But there was something that I came across which I thought that listeners would be interested to hear a little bit more about as a snippet, because we understand, or from what I've read at least, details of Israel's attack against Iran on that early morning of Friday, June the 13th, was apparently communicated to senior generals in Iran by the Mossad. The Mossad, and a Mossad agent apparently called around to senior generals in Iran to advise them that Israel was carrying out this attack at the exact place, time, all the details were given were accurate. And then that agent invited those generals to attend an emergency meeting, which was so genuine and so so believable in the way that it was communicated, that those generals all gathered together at this meeting that they thought had been called by the Iranian command, when in fact it had all been set up by the Mossad, and then that meeting was attacked, and a number of senior generals were killed at the moment that that meeting was supposedly taking place. Which was just an incredible kind of way to go smart about business. And just another little piece that is linked to that. We understand that there are reports that alongside its nuclear bomb program, Iran was also trying to develop what's called an electromagnetic pulse bomb, which apparently is something which is detonated at a very high altitude, and it generates a powerful electromagnetic pulse, which is capable of crippling electrical infrastructure. And the idea was to try to somehow disable Israel's communication systems by detonating this EMP, electromagnetic pulse bomb, which I found to be very, very fascinating. We do know that during the course of the war, as things progressed, the success that the Iranians were achieving with their attacks went up quite significantly. In the first half of the war, something like 8% of the missiles that were launched breached Israel's defenses. But by the second half of the war, that percent went from 8 to 16%. Now, we don't exactly know why that was the case, whether they became smarter, whether they were using different missiles, whether they'd learned some lessons from some of the failures in the earlier part of the war. We do know that a lot of their infrastructure had also been taken out by the time the second part of the war came around. So that success is even more remarkable, or the increase in success is even more remarkable. So just a few other little snippets that come out. And I'm sure, as I say, that there will be more as time goes on.
No
but
doubt.
Certainly one or two interesting things which put a completely different spin for us on the way that we view the events of that war.
I think we continue to be amazed. Here, this as well, but not in a good way. The United Nations is hosting a two-state solution conference. So what is expected to come out of this?
Well, this is apparently a conference that had been called for some time ago and that was postponed because of the war in Iran, but finally got together yesterday to discuss a two-state solution. Now, it's interesting that one of the comments that was made about the two-state solution, the comment that was made, sorry, about the conference, which was made by the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, he said, "We must ensure that this conference does not become another exercise in well-meaning rhetoric." Those were his words about this conference. And so, in a way, we already have an expectation of what he thinks this conference
Right.
is going to be.
Exactly.
Because very often you say, "Well, I don't want to insult you, but," and you know that the next thing that's going
Is
to
an
come
ins
out is an
yeah.
insult, right?
Right.
And so it's the same here with Guterres saying he doesn't want this to be another exercise in well-meaning rhetoric, but this is exactly what it's going to be. Because interestingly, neither the United States nor Israel are part of this conference. So to the extent that they can think that they can discuss a two-state solution without the participation of the United States and without the participation of Israel, I think is a little rich. And the US not only decided not to participate, but actually made a statement about the conference where they called it a publicity stunt more than anything else. And I think that that is really what it's all about, because the US statement says that this is a publicity stunt that comes in the middle of delicate diplomatic efforts to end the conflict. And then they went on to say, "Far from promoting peace, the conference will prolong the war, embolden Hamas, and reward its obstruction and undermine real-world efforts to achieve peace." And I think that therein lies the real point, that while a conference is being held in parallel with the war going on and attempts to try to somehow mediate a ceasefire and a release of hostages, then the United Nations decides to put up a conference like this. It almost feels like a reward, a prize to Hamas. This is for great behavior. We are going to give you this prize, a two-state solution conference where we'll talk about all the things that you've been calling for without your willingness to give up anything in return. And so this is really just sending the most negative possible message to Hamas about how the world is viewing the conflict at the moment. This should be the last thing that should be on the agenda. This should be the last thing that's happening in any forum right now, because all it does is it just encourages Hamas to keep going with the same strategy that they've been following right now. And we saw that the United States last week thought that an agreement was possible. In the end, they threw their hands up in the air and said, "Nothing is possible, that we're going home, that Hamas don't intend at all to come to an agreement." This week, we have a two-state solution conference. So why would Hamas change their tactics? It's all going exactly according to plan. This is exactly the sort of thing that they would wish to see. This is exactly how they want the item to be on their world agenda. And the French have already made the statement that at the upcoming UN General Assembly meetings, which will take place probably around September time, that the French will announce their recognition of a Palestinian state. Which Palestinian state? What Palestinian state? Where Palestinian state? Nobody really has any understanding of that right now, but they're going to announce that anyway. So this, I think, is just the worst possible message that can be sent to Hamas, and the worst possible assault that can be made upon the overall world situation, world peace, because Hamas are here to try to disrupt that. And this is just simply a reward that they're being given for terrible behavior, and to encourage them just to continue the same.
There is no question about it. There's been a shocking enabling of Hamas. If Hamas was taken to task and was really, really held responsible, things would have ended a very, very long time ago, which is just so tragic. But that is how it is. President Trump has said he knows where some of the hostages are being held in Gaza. What does this mean for the future of the hostages?
Well, there is a lot of talk right now about an increase, an uptick in the Gaza campaign on the part of the IDF, and it sort of links to all of the events of the past week or 10 days, where we see the talks that were being very optimistically promoted by the US negotiating team towards the end of last week, suddenly collapse in a pile that many of us thought would happen anyway. But somehow the US seemed to have some level of optimism that this was all going in the right direction. It's collapsed. Then we have the statement by the Prime Minister and President Trump saying we need to find an alternative way to release our hostages. Then there is this talk about potentially escalating the current conflict in Gaza and potentially increasing the activity of the IDF. And President Trump, when he met yesterday with the British Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer, said that we know where some of the hostages are. And then he went on to say some of them will die if we go in, which is no surprise to anybody, and it doesn't change any of our views, because we've always known that. And what's more, we've known that if that wasn't the risk, we would have gone in a long, long time ago to rescue them. Let's not forget 662 days have passed while they are being kept in the tunnels in Gaza. So we would have gone in a long time ago to carry out any military operation that could conceivably be carried out, if it wasn't for the fact that we very much fear for the lives and for the safety of those hostages who've been kept there. Now, I think that for me, the best quote of the day actually came from the mouth of Sir Keir Starmer, because, and not only because the statement was so accurate and so true, but also because I didn't really expect him to say it so openly in the forum with the, in his meeting with President Trump. And what he said is Hamas cannot be part of a future government in the Palestinian territories. That's what he said. And I don't know how that ties into the conference of the two-state solution that's being held at the United Nations. But I absolutely concur. And of course, the ensuring the fact that Hamas is not part of a future in Gaza has always been one of Israel's objectives of this war, to destroy Hamas and to ensure that they can't be there for the future. So the question then is, well, what do we do next? And of course, President Trump has made one or two very, very strong and accurate statements. He's also made one or two quite slightly strange ones. For example, he said yesterday in his meeting with Keir Starmer that he disagrees that there are no hungry hostages, there's no starvation in Gaza, because he said people look hungry. There are people who are hungry in Gaza. We are helping them, he said. People need to get food because they look hungry. Now, he didn't go on to say who can be held responsible. And I'd like to just say what I've said over and over again, just in case we kind of lose sight of it, because there's so many different moving pieces here, moving parts, so many different discussions, so many different views being put out there. But there are a few facts which remain consistent throughout this conflict. And one of them is that if the hostages were released, the war would be over. That the hunger, the so-called hunger that we are being told about, the starvation in Gaza, would be over. There is enough food in Gaza to feed everybody there if it was properly distributed by Hamas, if it wasn't being sold at exorbitant prices. The prices that we've seen on the markets in Gaza are just incredible. We would never conceive to pay prices like that in a properly operating economy where people can afford to buy pretty much whatever they want, let alone a situation in Gaza when there's no properly functioning economy and people are really under a lot of stress and pressure and living in the most squalid of conditions. And these are the prices. They are 10, 20, 100 times more expensive than any normal price that you would see for the same goods elsewhere in the free world. It's just unbelievable, inconceivable to see how they are operating to raise money, to give to create more hardship for people in Gaza and to keep the resources for themselves. There was a comment that was made that there has been enough food aid sent to Gaza to feed 2 million people for 2 years. Mm. That's the quantity of food that has gone into Gaza. And yet the subject continues to come up even in the discussions between President Trump and Keir Starmer. And of course, in every other forum around the world, everybody's talking about the starvation in Gaza. People are hungry in Gaza. People are being mistreated in Gaza. But that responsibility needs to be attributed to the right place, which is of course, Hamas and the way that they're operating. So in terms of where we're going with Gaza right now, it seems quite likely that there will be an escalation of the IDF's activities in Gaza. There may even be a military operation to try to rescue the hostages, which comes at a massive risk and which we all are bracing ourselves for with trepidation, because the consequences could be absolutely dramatic. But as I said yesterday, I'm not really sure what the alternatives are. This is a matter on the public agenda, on international agendas right now, but we don't really seem to be making much progress in any direction.
And that is the terrible, terrible quandary. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. You can catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45 for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.